Are you a powerful parent, or should I ask, do you have a powerful child? That's what we're going to focus on today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is the Intentional Living Center. The doors are open. Come on in. There's a reason behind misbehavior. All the research shows that when kids misbehave, there's a reason, there's a purpose, something driving it. One of the reasons is attention. You know, the kids that just sort of want your attention, demand your attention, and they do it in lots of ways. But then there's power, and that's a different feeling. Sometimes with a powerful child, you get a little frustrated and angry. Do you have a powerful child in your life, in your home, in your family? Can we help you? How do you handle it? This is an old-fashioned parent talk from the Intentional Living Center.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's a counselor and coach, husband, father, and grandpa, best-selling author of Raising Responsible Adults, and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be an intentional parent, here's Randy.
All right, thank you much, and welcome to Intentional Living Center. We are talking parenting today. We're going back to the roots of our ministry, which really focus on parenting. We started as Parent Talk many, many years ago. We've continued, in fact, that's our corporate name, our ministry name, because we know that parenting is such an essential part of being intentional. And intentional, of course, reaches into all the areas of our life so we can be successful, including in the area of parenting. Now, one of the things we've taught over the years is that powerful kids come from powerful homes, and powerful kids learn their power from other sources. And if you want to sort of turn down the amperage in your family, we're here to help you do that today. Because because power is one of those things that tends to escalate. And if you practice what we teach here at Intentional Living, which is active respect parenting, it'll help you understand that when your child powers up, you need to make a commitment to power down. Boy, that seems like a counterintuitive thing to do, doesn't it? But it works. Or when your child is disrespectful, that's when you need to show the most respect by holding them accountable. When your child is loud, that's when you need to be most quiet. When your child is irrational, that's when you need to respond rationally. And when your child is criticizing, you don't come back with criticism. You love your children. Discipline, remember, comes from the root of disciple, to train, to teach, not from the thought of punishment. And our job as parents is to raise our children to become responsible, God-fearing, God-honoring adults. That's our goal. That's our hope. That's our desire. In fact, we have a whole study here people have been using all over the country called Raising Responsible Adults, What Every Intentional Parent Needs to Know. And so if you got a powerful kid in your life, you got a powerful kid in your home, maybe you're a powerful parent or married to one, let's talk here. 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Heather from Iowa, and I am living intentionally by not yelling so much at my family. I was realizing over several months how my family was basically out of control, and my husband was trying to crawl into a hole, and I kept praying and asking what it was that maybe I was doing. So I am not going to yell at my family anymore, and I'm going to approach everything as calm as possible, and if I can't, I need to even think about it before. So that is what I am doing to be intentional.
Good for you. Good for you. And it works. It really does. Let's go to the phones here. Joyce on the line. Hi, Joyce. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
It says here you watch your grandkids, huh?
Oh, I don't watch them. I just happen to be observing one day. All my children are raised and love the Lord, but I was wondering how my children would raise their children, and that was always a concern. And I happened to be at my daughter's house one day, and she has a two-year-old, and she asked him to do something, and he turned around and said no, and I was sitting on the couch, and I was wondering how they would interact, and she turned around and she said, "You do not say no to your mother. Go to timeout." And this little boy did turned around, ran across the room, put his head in the corner, and just whimpered. And she said, 1 minute. And she put the timer on, and he whimpered, and he said, "Is it time, Mommy?" And she said, "I'm sorry, Mommy." And she goes, 25 seconds. And he stayed there, and when the little timer went off, he ran to her and said, "I'm sorry, Mommy. I'm so sorry." And they hugged and kissed. And she said, "You do not say no to your mother." And I stood there. I had to turn away and laugh to myself because I thought, oh, my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah, you're feeling pretty good about this at this point.
This kid, I mean, just turned two, and when he uses when he makes a loud sound, either in a restaurant, because we go out a lot, we've taken him since he was a baby to a restaurant to teach him, and when he uses a loud voice, I just put my finger over my mouth and say, "Use your indoor voice," and then he says the same thing to me, but he whispers and then he giggles. So he's extremely intelligent, but that's because they've trained him since birth.
Well, training is it. I mean, when you think of discipline, Joyce, and you know this, your grandmother, you've been through this process, training is not just punishment. Parents, you make a mistake when you get up in the morning, you think your job is just to punish your children. I know you got kids and you think, you don't know how strong-willed this kid is. I mean, he's not like Joyce's grandson who just whimpers and says, "Thank you," and "I'm sorry," And let's face it, every child is different. There are unique differences. We see that with our own kids and grandkids. And so they all come out differently and they're going to behave differently. But that doesn't mean you should change. As a parent, you need to be consistent. You need to have a game plan. You need to be a person that will follow through consistently. Don't threaten your kids with stuff like, "I'm going to ground you for the next 5 years," when that's not realistic. If you have a timeout, you follow through. We really teach through our Raising Responsible Adults study, using the reality of life, using logical and natural consequences. You know, there are many ways that kids, for instance, who are showing disrespect for their property, not taking care of their toys, not putting things away, for instance, instead of yelling and reminding them, why can't the reality of picking the toys up, putting them in a bag, putting them in the closet, and saying, "I think they're going to be gone for a couple of days, and we'll see how you do next time we take them out." Or maybe when you have a child that's a little bit older and showing disrespect to you, and they have driving privileges, maybe they don't for a while. You know, that's something that you get as a privilege, not a right. And when you show disrespect to mom and dad, the car is gone. That's not just, quote, punishment. That's reality. You can't treat people like that in life and expect not to have a consequence. And that's true throughout life. So the more we can use logical and natural consequences, the better off we're going to be. And it makes a difference for sure. Okay, Joyce, thank you for your call. Good counsel.
Welcome.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
God bless you. On Facebook, here's what Ashley says to the question, "How do you handle a strong-willed child?" Ashley says very carefully, "Being consistent with them and being sensitive to their insecurities. More times than not, if your strong-willed child is being rebellious, it's because they have an insecurity. Also praying that God would shape their will to be fitted for Him." Sherry echoes that in terms of being consistent, setting boundaries. Mary says with a lot of prayer, even when they're 30 years old. Sherry says, "This is a huge topic. I'm a strong parent. I have to adjust my attitude and remain calm and reasonable. And when I'm going to lose it, I would send myself to my own room for a timeout." Some parents, you need to do that. Walk around the block, count to 10, get composed. You got to follow through. You're a parent. You're training. You're teaching. It's leadership, self-leadership. Can't lead your family if you don't lead yourself. That's intentional living. Strong-willed child, how do you handle it? 888-888-1717.
I raised my nephew for about 5.5 years, and my nephew approached me because he wanted to watch a movie, and he said there was only one or two cuss words in it. And he asked, "Can I go?" And I said, "No," I was very firm on that. And he just kept asking. "There's nothing wrong. Everything else is good. About 90% of it's good." And he just kept trying to work his way into going to see it. So that next afternoon, I made some brownies, and I put them out. And I said, "Would you like some brownies?" He's like, "Sure." So after about, he ate two or three pieces. I said, "Now, were those good?" And he goes, "Oh, man, yeah, that was amazing." I said, "Now, there was just a little bitty piece of dog stuff in it." And he kind of looked at me, and he was just all upset. And he goes, why did you do that? I said, well, what's wrong? It was just a little bitty piece. I said, about 90% of it's still good. And he finally understood what I was saying. It took that to get his attention. But it did, and we talked about the movie and how he shouldn't see it because of that issue. But it's like I had to get down on his level and explain it to him in ways that he would understand.
Oh, wow. And I know you're all thinking, you're all going to want to ask the same question. Was that an illustration, or did he actually do did he actually... Oh, all right. Let's go to Mary on the line. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Good.
I have a third generation strong-willed child.
Okay.
I'm very strong-willed. I'm going to pull over, so just give me a second here.
All right. So
I'm kind of like a strong-willed or a controlled person. I was told that by my children, of course. Children tell you that. But my daughter passed away 2 years ago, and she was a strong-willed child. We are now raising her daughter. We've had her for 2 years, and though she comes with some emotional baggage, of course, she is just turning three, and I am seeing the very strong willness in her, the defiance. When I ask her to do things, she will defiantly turn around and walk away from me. And I had to laugh at all the comments just prior to me coming on air, because I'm going, prayer, consistency, But the last one, it was like, go to my room. Can I really do that? She follows me.
And pound on the door.
Defiant in my bedroom. I finally taught her she had to knock before she could come into my room. But I really kind of lose patience, because at three, what do you do? I mean, when she defiant, and you see the defiance. I mean, she's got her hands on her hips, and she is looking at you, and you can see that total defiance.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens, Mary? Mary, a couple of things. One is, with a three-year-old, obviously they're going through these years of developmental stages and developmental process. Where we tend to see more of this trying to fit in, and these are important years, these first 4 or 5 years of setting a tone and environment. But as you mentioned, you know, mom's gone, and I'm so sorry to hear about that loss in her life and your life and for your family, and that's disruptive. You're at a different stage in your life with probably energy level and all of that to be in a parenting role, and God bless you for that. But you also have more wisdom and understand the things you'd like to do differently. You get a second shot at this thing with your granddaughter, and you need help. So I think for you, you need to get a break. You need to make sure that you have perspective, you have help, that you take care of yourself in this process. But you know, with a strong-willed three-year-old, 2- and 3-year-old, there's a tendency for us as parents to start acting like we're 2 and 3 as well. They can suck us right into acting like they do. Like I said earlier, when a child powers up, we tend to power up. That's a time to power down. I found with kids, for instance, when they talk real loudly, if you talk quietly, have you ever noticed when someone whispers, you turn the radio dial up? And that's true, too. When we come back with the same kind of strength and power that they have, ultimately, we're going to lose. And I think you have to kind of counter that. When they're loud, we're quiet. When they're disrespectful, we're respectful. Could be, you know, honey, listen, I'm sorry you don't talk to mom that way. You don't talk to grandma that way. Not here. And it's time to go to your room. And she's put in the room, and the door's closed. And when you're done being angry, you're welcome to come back out and join the rest of the family. In other words, a powerful child, we don't get in the way of their power because they'll suck us in. It's like a black hole in space. It just sucks everything around it. And that's true often with a powerful child. And when we don't get impressed with their power, when we don't light up when they get powerful, when their power doesn't cause the kind of reaction from us that they're looking for, they're not going to win with that. And ultimately, and hopefully, unless there's other things going on in their life, they realize that's not effective. Cooperation is most effective. Hang on, Mary, I want to send you a copy of our study. I know you've been through this once, and now as you come through a second time with your granddaughter, but it's always helpful to take a look at Raising Responsible Adults. We got a study guide and a book. I'm going to send it to you to say thank you, and hopefully it can be a help to you. So hang on the line. Sally will get the information.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Our lines are still open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Dr. Randy's got more help for parents who want to power down. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hey, I've got a tip for you if you want to raise a responsible adult.
From the Intentional Living Center, this is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Dr. Randy Carlson, founder of Intentional Living.
You know, raising a responsible adult comes down to a principle. In fact, it's one of the intentionals for parents from our Intentional Living Center. And it says, I will not do for my children what they can do for themselves. But when I do, I disrespect them. You know, we want our children to grow up and have confidence and independence. We want them to explore the strengths and weaknesses of their life, but ultimately to become responsible human beings, people who grow up and love God and know who they are in Christ. To raise a responsible adult, you can do it, but don't overdo it as a parent. For Intentional Living, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, one of the great things about Facebook is you're going to find others who are facing the same challenges you are, and you'll be able to offer encouragement and hope to one another. So why not join our Facebook family? Go to theintentionallife.com and click on the Facebook icon at the top of the page. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Now to the epitome of powered down, Dr. Calm, Cool, and Collected. Here's Randy.
Yeah, oh yeah. Thank you, Kurt. I'm not sure everyone would agree with that, but thanks for the encouragement. You know, we have at our website, by the way, when you go to our highlights page, you can go to the bottom there and click on the intentionals with the emphasis on T-E-N, intentionals, a list of 10. It's kind of our top 10 list. And this one, boy, has gone out to thousands of people all around the world. It's the top 10 list for intentional parenting. Let me give you a couple, and then you can go read the rest and study them yourself. Here's a good thought. I will not do for my child what they can do for themselves. When I do, I disrespect them. I will not overreact when my child overreacts. When I do, we both lose. I will not rescue my child from life because he or she needs to learn, and when I do, I weaken them. I will not treat my teenager like a child. When I do, I create resentment. There's four of the top 10 lists. The intentionals, you can get it at our highlights page. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on the broadcast highlights. At the bottom, you'll see a list of some of our most requested intentionals, and that'll be there for you. Check it out at theintentionallife.com. Let's go to Joanne is on the line today. Joanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
My question is, we have a powerful teenager and a powerful dad in the house. And with that combination, my question is, as a submissive wife, how do I support and help in the home without jumping in and making my husband feel as though I'm taking over when he and the teenager are getting to that escalating point where all the peacock feathers are ruffled and popped up.
And you want me to answer this in 2 minutes, right? You know what? Here's what I hear. I hear, Joanne, that you're a wife and a mom, and you find yourself getting sucked in between the problems between your husband or the tension or the stress, whatever, between your husband and your son. Like you feel at some point you got to jump in. And that's causing
you... I feel that sometimes it gets out of hand and it's getting, gets too loud and too escalated to where it's kind of like that back and forth. Who can be louder?
Exactly. Exactly. Can I make a suggestion? Mm-hmm. This is going to sound kind of strange to some people, but I think you need to quit. I can remember talking to a couple in counseling many years ago, and a mom who was in the same boat. She was constantly feeling like she had to jump in the middle and make everything okay between dad and daughter, or dad and son. And I said, you know, I think you need to quit. I think you need to write a resignation letter to your husband and to your son and say, you know what, I'm feeling the pressure because my guess is, Joanne, when you jump in, it doesn't make anything better. Is that true? It doesn't really ultimately solve it.
It doesn't solve it. It just stops it for the moment.
Yeah, it stops it for the moment. So you become the traffic cop, and
right.
But you're not really solving the problem. I think you need to resign and maybe make a little scene out of it. Maybe make a little celebration out of it. You're going to sit down and submit to both of them. You know what? I'm feeling frustrated. I get involved when you guys are arguing, and I'm done. I resign. And then I think behind closed doors, you tell your husband, you know, honey, I got to tell you something. When you do that, here's how it makes me feel. When that happens between you and my son and your son, here's what's going on in my heart. Here's what's going on in my mind. Here's how I feel about the whole situation, about the family and so on. But I want you to know I'm done in terms of when you guys get at it, I'm walking out of the room. I'm not going to jump in. I'm not going to be the one to stop it. Because here's what's happened. There's a pattern that's developed here, Joanne. Something happens, it escalates, you jump in, things quiet down. They all know you're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if you did nothing? What happened if you got up and walked out of the room, went for a ride around the block, came back later? What do you think would happen?
They would have to work it out, or it would come to a head.
It would come to a head.
They would walk out.
Exactly. Then they're going to have to learn how to get along with each other. These are not two little kids. It's your husband and your son who, what you say, is a teenager, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I really think you need to think about and pray about, because you can't change what happens between the two of them. You only change your reaction. I think it's very appropriate for you to express to both of them that you're disappointed that they can't seem to work things out, and behind closed doors to talk to your husband about how it's affecting you and how you feel about it in as positive a way as you can, in a healthy way, but also being very honest that this is very frustrating to you, and you resign. You resign, and that means you leave the room when those things occur, and you don't get involved. And that'd be interesting to see what would happen if you just sat in the corner and said nothing, read your book, and smiled, and put on some earplugs. Because here's what happens, I think, in all of our lives. Whenever we're in a system, and that's what families are, a system of relationships, we all play a different role in that system. And if you pull yourself out of it, you're going to change the dynamic, and it's going to force dad and son to figure out the relationship without you jumping in. Just a thought, something to think about, one of the ways of being intentional.
Me and my wife were lucky enough to both change jobs here recently and pretty much double our income. And you hit that American attitude, make more, spend more.
How have you learned to be content? This is a spiritual thing. You know, the Apostle Paul did say in Philippians 4, not that I'm speaking of being in need, but he says, for I have learned whatever situation I'm in to be content.
We're actually debating on getting a new house or not. We've only been in our house for a very short amount of time. We haven't started a family yet. And listen to that lady talk about being able to send her kids to a Christian school.
You know, God knows the desires of our heart, and He knew that we really wanted to have our kids in Christian school. So we've been content to drive older cars. We've been content to have a yard that isn't finished.
They can receive a good education, and a daily lesson in God's word would mean way more than another 1,000 square feet ever could. So today definitely just clarified a bunch of stuff for me. It was pretty much like a sign.
Wow. You know, contentment. The Bible says contentment is great gain when we're truly contented in Him. That's the kind of contentment we're talking about. Well, we live in a discontented world. And so whatever it is, wherever you are today, learn to be content. And if you feel discontent, yes, ask yourself the question, is it more of a holy discontent, which means, hey, I want to see some changes in my life intentionally to better glorify Him, or is it just for my own preservation or consumption? Great questions. You know, we're talking about parenting up and powering down today. There's an area. Are you content where you are as a parent, realizing what a responsibility and privilege God's given you right here, right now, to raise these kids? There are five things that Joseph did that I think really are important. One thing that Joseph did, even though probably life made no sense to him, he didn't get stuck. He didn't stay in that pit. He got up out of that pit and kept going. He got up every day. He had made a decision how he was going to live his life. He was going to trust God in front of Potiphar's wife in jail. He was going to trust God when he was in the pit. No matter what he was facing, he didn't get stuck. And I think many times when we face a difficulty in our life, I think it's easy for us to get stuck emotionally and spiritually at that moment.
Boy, that's true. I think we've all been there. It's part of the process of life. And this month, members, on its way to you is my teaching for all members, members only, called When Life Doesn't Make Sense. What do you do? I thought this would be a way of wrapping up the year. Maybe some things in 2018 didn't make much sense. And I want to give you a perspective from God's Word. And then we start in January. Hey, members, listen, starting in January for 2019, a whole series every month on living on purpose. It's going to be a very positive, forward-moving encouragement to you in your journey. And I just want to say, if you're not a member, come and join us. And you got an ideal opportunity to do it today, because we have a very special gift for anyone who'll join us here at the year end to help us close out 2018 strong. We have the Intentional Word, the 66 books of the Bible, the entire Bible, in the one-year chronological format. And reading from Genesis to Revelation every day, 15 or 20 minutes, will take you through the whole Bible in 1 year. Now, that's intentional living. Here's how you can receive this from Intentional Living. Now, I know you can get this, but I want you to pray about supporting the ministry, because your support's going to go right into helping us reach more people with this message. But the Intentional Word is our gift to you, who will join us either as a new member, receive the teaching this month on CD, When Life Makes No Sense. Every month in 2019, join us on Living on Purpose. Each month, a brand new encouragement teaching from me to you. $1 a day in support of Intentional Living, $30 a month, and I thank you for it. Now, if you can't do that, but you're already a member and could share a year-end gift of $250 or more for Intentional Living, it goes right into the ministry. We'll make sure that you receive the Intentional Word, the one-year chronological Bible. Okay? All right. Join us in support monthly, a new member, share a year-end gift. Here's how you can do it. Call anytime. Right now is a great time to call, because an operator is ready to talk to you, at 888-888-1717. Can you call right now? Do it the next 10 minutes. One of the things we talk about is doing the next right one thing, intentional living. Do it now. 888-888-1717. Or go online. Just get on the computer. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and click on donate. The information is there for you. And God bless you. All right, tomorrow, purpose in the pain of life, whatever you're experiencing. We'll see you then from Intentional Living.